Welcome on in, ladies and gentlemen. No, I'm not Davey Siegel. I am the host of Front Stretch's Stock Car Scoop. Davey's off. I don't know why, but he has decided that walking a bunch of miles up to see some hills and hiking is a great idea for a vacation. I don't know why, but go for it, buddy. So we let him have a week off. So yours truly, along with my co-host, Mr. Adam Cheek, will be filling in for him. And of course, we had to bring on the goofiest guy at Front Stretch, the one, the only, Mr. Michael Massey, to not only recap the Roval, we're going to preview Texas, and last but not least, hear an interview that Davey conducted before he left with Josh Berry. So, without further ado, let's get to the action.
Boogity, boogity, boogity! Let's go racing, boys!
What's going on, party people? Brian Owen, Adam Cheek, Michael Massey here with you. First off, Adam, this is a little bit of an extended edition of Stock Car Scoop. Instead of talking for about 5 minutes, talk for about 20 to 25. What do you say, bro?
Oh, I'm on board for it. Davey's earned himself some time gallivanting around, and we are the heir apparents to take over. I'm excited, and I'm glad we're able to do this.
You know, I talked to Davey a couple of days ago on Snapchat. He's hiking up this huge mountain, and I was like, how do you get down? He's like, shh, I don't reveal my secrets. I was like, rude, but whatever. So I'm glad he's having fun. And I'm going to introduce a guy that I think would never, ever hike to save his life, unless it is to go to a refrigerator to get maybe an alcoholic beverage, since he is of the legal age. That is yours truly, Mr. Michael Massey. What's going on, dude?
What are you talking about? I just went hiking a couple weekends ago in West Virginia.
That was harsh, Brian.
I did a mile hike. Okay. I wouldn't hike for whatever Davey's doing.
I'm pretty sure he did like 12 to 15 miles or something.
Yeah, I wouldn't do anything crazy like that. The getting up would be hard, but going down would be pretty easy. You just like,
yeah, true. Maybe I was talking about myself going to the refrigerator, but without further ado, let's talk less about me and my choices of food and drinking habits and more about the action going on at the racetrack. And that was the Roval. We were going left, right, road course, and a little bit of oval action as the road course provided excitement on Sunday. Adam, I will start with you. Were you surprised? Or did you really expect to see Kyle Larson beat out his Hendrick Motorsports teammate, Chase Elliott, and grab the victory on Sunday?
Well, Larson's kind of been, you know, out of nowhere good on road courses this year. He's got a couple wins there already heading into the Roval. And I hadn't expected him to really do that well, just because Daytona road course, I don't remember him being that much of a factor. But, of course, that was before he even won, you know, at all this year. And this was another one of those hybrid track road courses and everything, but he's just kind of there early. And then he has the issues and you're like, oh, he's going to like be riding the cut line for a lot of this race. And then he climbs himself back up, passes Denny Hamlin, who seemed like the car to beat for some of the day. And then he goes off and wins. So with as good as he's been this year, I'm not surprised per se, but it's definitely, you know, I definitely didn't see him. I didn't have him winning. I had a different Hendrick Motorsports driver winning, that's for sure.
Now, Adam, he did win at Sonoma, so there was a chance that we could see that happen. But, I mean, it was a little bit surprising. And now, just overall, in the big scheme of things, Michael, Kyle Larson obviously has been on a tear. Should we consider him the favorite for the championship in a few weeks?
I mean, the guy's got, what, 7 wins now?
Yeah, 7,
I do not consider him the favorite. I mean, who else are you going to put as the favorite? He's literally Denny's good, but Denny's only won twice this year. Oh. Kyle's been the consistent threat. I think it's his championship to lose, plain and simple. And if he isn't part of the championship four, it's going to feel like Kevin Harvick last year, where it doesn't really feel right because the guy had such an amazing season. And you kind of feel like you're getting gypped of the best driver being in there if he doesn't make it.
Now, one of the big things, Michael, I'll stay with you and then I'll go to Adam on this. One of the big things that was a huge, and I mean ginormous part of this race was the so-called retaliation that we saw from Bristol regarding Kevin Harvick and Chase Elliott. Harvick got into Chase Elliott, huge damage to the 9 car in which Chase tried to retaliate, was not successful, ended up hitting the number 41 car, Cole Custer. That carried on later into the race, where Chase was about to reach Kevin Harvick, and Harvick looked like was driving out of his rearview mirror, because he did not get to the first corner and instead ran straight into the wall, ending his race and his title hopes. So, Michael, overall, was that justified what Harvick did to Chase? And then just overall, your thoughts on where this goes from here?
I think it's justified what Harvick did, in sending Chase into the wall, and that Chase cost him a win at Bristol by racing him aggressively, sideswiping him, and then holding him up for several laps and allowing Larson to take the spot. That's 5 points right there. What did he end up missing by? It wasn't that many points,
And well, he missed close to that, I think.
He missed by more because he crashed out. But if he hadn't crashed out,
it was like 8 points or something, I think.
Yeah, but if he hadn't crashed out, that 5 points where he was running, he probably would have been good. But the thing is, if you're going to wreck a guy, you need to finish the guy. So him leaving Chase Elliott with a still pretty decent race car to where he finished in the top 12, he didn't do a good enough job wrecking him. So the other thing is, Harvick did say at Bristol, I'm going to run you over every time you get near me. That's one of the things that could be overheard on the Jordan Bianchi video that was stealthily obtained. And Harvick, unlike a lot of other drivers, when they give threats like that, he actually delivered. A lot of them, if they say they're going to wreck somebody, they're not going to wreck them. But he actually did it. So I give him credit for that, but I don't give him credit for the execution of it.
Adam, is this feud over?
Well, I'll second Massey on all those points there, justified. But you got to finish the guy. And it might have been better if Harvick had done that to Chase, maybe in turn one, send him into the barriers, get the same damage Harvick did, but actually end his race, if you're going to. I don't think it's over. And I know we talked about this a little bit already, but it's I feel like Harvick feels like there's unfinished business there. I'm sure Chase, is, as he said in his interview, Harvick's done, but I think he still needs to maybe at least worry a little bit when he sees that four in his rearview mirror, see that Harvick doesn't get that close to him. And I know Chase isn't going to be driving out of his mirror and end up like Harvick did. But if anywhere, I think it's definitely going to be Martinsville, Texas, and Kansas. They're high enough speeds that I don't think either driver is going to risk doing, or Harvick's going to risk doing that and end up getting suspended. Martinsville might be the place to do it, which we saw suspension come out of Kenseth Logano a few years ago. But Martinsville is such close quarters, you can easily end a guy's race very, very quickly with just a tap in the turn or something like that. We saw Harvick try to very successfully spun Kyle last year, but ended up spinning himself in a bid to get to the final four when he missed it after winning, 9 races last year? And of course, 2015, we saw Kenseth Logano at the same track. And it's just kind of, I feel like in 2 weeks, we're going to be going into Martinsville with every hair standing on end, because it's the penultimate race of the season. You got the cutoffs. I'm sure we'll have at least a couple of drivers within a few points of the cut line on either side that could swap spots within laps of each other. And we're going to have that. And I don't think it's over. I don't think anything's going to happen. Something might happen at Phoenix, but that's only if nothing happens at Martinsville. And I think Martinsville is going to be where we see this kind of come to a head for sure.
One thing's for sure, I can't wait for this upcoming round. That is for sure. When we come back, we will dive in to Texas and what to expect from the Lone Star State. But right now, we're going to be diving into our interview that Davey conducted a little bit earlier with Josh Berry. This week's episode of Stage Break is brought to you by B&L Lawn Services. Yes, folks, Boise, Idaho, the fall has arrived in the Treasure Valley, and you need your fall cleanup. Well, B&L Lawn Service is here for you. Call Lisa Nolan, our business manager, at 208-573-3523. Fall cleanup, trimming trees, weeds, anything you need, B&L Lawn Service has for you. Once again, 208-573-3523. We will work for you.
Pleasure to welcome on to the show this week, driver of the number 8/1 Chevrolet for Junior Motorsports. It is Josh Berry. I'm really excited to talk to you, man, because you have had a dream season and you got a bright future ahead as well. Just to start off, what have the last few weeks been like? Because I feel like you've been a fill-in driver for multiple series, a regular driver for some series, a race winner. You skipped Martinsville, but you won Vegas anyway. It's been a whirlwind of a week for you, or a couple.
Yeah, definitely. It's been a challenging month and a half. I mean, it's just been a lot going on, just trying to manage a lot. Throughout my stint in the 8 car earlier this year, I was kind of, obviously my life was a little bit simpler, but thankfully for me that went so well, I got a lot busier afterwards. So it's just been a lot going on. Obviously Michael's been dealing with an injury and he's, trying to get better. So my main focus right now is being available for the one team whenever they need me. But at the same time, trying to capitalize on some other opportunities that have come up here or there, and just managing all that. It's just been tough, and trying to get ready for next year too. So it's been a lot going on. Yeah, definitely a good problem to have though. And I'm thankful for everything that's been happening.
You think this is the busiest that you've been in your racing career?
Man, I don't know. It's just a different kind of busy. Last year, when we were going for the weekly series national championship, I was just as busy, but just working on one thing. I mean, we were, most weeks I was preparing a couple cars, 2-3 cars, maybe a week, with the help of everybody at our late model program, and we're racing Saturday, Sunday, come in Monday, start back over, no days off. So it's different kind of busy. That was simpler, kind of, easier, kind of, I just knew what we had to do. I've been doing it a long time. This time I'm dealing with a lot more stuff and a lot more people, and just trying to keep everybody happy is the best thing, and do the right things, do a good job, and just keep everything moving in the right direction.
You mentioned Michael and filling in for him in the one car. I assume you're going to do that for the foreseeable future, because today, as we're recording this, it actually was just announced that he's going to retire from full-time competition at the end of this season. I don't know if you've talked to him at all since he had made that decision in private or public or whatever, but I know that for a race car driver in general, that's got to be a tough decision to come to, just to say, you know what, for my health and everything that goes along with that, I'm going to take a step away for a little bit. But you're in a unique position because you're his teammate, but you're also filling in for him in the car that he pilots on a full-time basis. So it's got to be a tough balance for somebody like you to feel for your teammate and your friend in one sense, but also capitalize on an opportunity to drive that car and win in it.
Yeah, definitely. Really ever since I got this opportunity with JRM at the beginning of the year, Michael's been super supportive of me and been super supportive of me driving and filling in for him whenever, we needed to do it. So, obviously you hate that things come to that, but, Michael made the decision that he needed to for himself. And, we all wish him the best. We all love and really enjoy being around Michael. And at the end of the day, it's up to him. And, I'm like you said, I've been able to capitalize on it. It's just as part of sports, right? Even when I won at Las Vegas, they touched on it at the end of the race. Just sometimes you're in the right place at the right time. And I'm pretty good proof of that this year.
Yeah. I know your boss, Dale Jr., mentioned it on his podcast a couple weeks ago. I think he said that he thinks you're going to be in the car for the foreseeable future. Do you know whether or not you're going to be in the car for the rest of the year, or is it kind of still a week-to-week thing?
Yeah, it's definitely a week-to-week thing. To be honest, I'm not even completely sure what we're doing for this weekend yet. just being honest. It's week-to-week. I think Michael is definitely working really hard to try to get back in the car. Whether that's going to end up being the next 5 or 4 or however it ends up working out. I don't think he wants to go out racing. I do know that. And I want that for Michael. Like I said, I've benefited from it and got to run some extra races, but ultimately this is Michael's team and sponsors and everything. And, with his news for next year, I want him to be able to go out however he would like to go out. Now, if that means that he's got to run these next 5 weeks, then I completely support him.
Well, you ran Vegas. You did well there. You ran Talladega this past weekend. We don't know about this weekend or beyond, but you clearly have been a super sub of sorts, and you're going to be full-time next year with this team. Not necessarily this specific one car and their team, but you're going to be full-time at JRM, obviously. So how important has that made your couple races at Vegas and Talladega, and potentially looking into the future? How important do you think that what knowing for next year is going to bring for you, how important does that make these next few races for you?
Yeah, definitely. Just, you know, obviously I think, it's been a great opportunity for me to continue to race. You know, after Nashville, which was my last one in the eight, you know, I felt like I was in a good spot. I felt like, you know, everything I'd done had really kind of solidified me as a race car driver at the next level. And, you know, at that point we were, there's a lot of moving pieces about finding a way to put me in a race car and for, you know, for next year. I mean, the partners, working out with the partners in that, four teams, five teams, we've all been in the news. We've all seen it. So there's a lot going on at that point. You know, I had some additional opportunities, and then to hop back in the JRM car with one team has obviously been just a bonus, unexpected. You know, and we've had some really good runs. I think for me as a race car driver, it's definitely a different feeling I've noticed being able to race, knowing that you have a job next year, knowing everything's lined up and ready to go. I think I've raced with better. I think I've raced with a certain confidence, knowing that I'm going to be full time next year. And I think it's shown. Our results have been really well with the one team. And, you know, like I said, we'll just get through these next 5 weeks, however we have to, and then work hard in the off season.
That's interesting. So, like, let's go back to Martinsville, for example, right? In the first half of the season, were you racing differently then, maybe with a chip on your shoulder and something to prove compared to how you're racing now, which is knowing that you have your ride set in stone for next year and more so of a learning type of thing behind the wheel? Like, take me behind the scenes and what you mean in terms of how you're racing differently.
Yeah, I think that, you know, I don't know if how differently I was really racing or not. I think I just feel different now. You know, and obviously that's because I have more experience too. I mean, there's a number of situations, but, you know, ultimately with my time in the eight, I knew I had 12 races, and, you know, every time one we've had a falter or a DNF or something, you know, you just feel like that just goes against what you're trying to do. And winning at Martinsville was obviously, it was life-changing for me. I think it kind of, you know, it just changed the whole, like, everything about our team. Everybody was so much more confident, and we went and had a lot, you know, we had almost 2 second places, I believe, right after that. And, you know, we ran really well. So I think that, you know, that changed me, getting a full-time opportunity and getting to come back here, really kind of no pressure, just go race and see how you do, and, you know, take this one team. You know, I don't think anybody had, you know, real high expectations. I mean, you know, obviously I'd worked with the eight team at the beginning of the year, and then I jump in a car sometimes that I didn't even know if I was driving it, you know, less than a couple of days out. So it's, you know, there's a lot of things happening there that could potentially hurt your success. So for us to go run as good as we have, I think, you know, proves that team's really strong, and I feel like I'm in a good place.
You said Martinsville changed your life. Vegas changed your competitors' lives in a way, because I want to know how difficult a decision it was, or maybe it wasn't, to forego Martinsville and go to Vegas instead. Clearly it worked out for you in a really big way, but I know that deep down inside you're thinking to yourself, man, I could be dominating that thing right there. But you did pretty well for yourself in Vegas.
Yeah, no, definitely. It was, you know, it was a little bittersweet. That's the first time I'd missed that event. Obviously yeah. was the defending winner, with them not having it last year. So, and we had fully prepared to do that. We had been in the shop. We got the car ready, and it, you know, we had been working on it. I mean, it wasn't completely done, but we had, you know, had all intentions of being at that race. And then, you know, Michael wasn't able to run Bristol, and I get in at Bristol last second, and then obviously Vegas again. And, you know, yeah, I miss that, but I think everybody knows that, you know, with me, with the opportunity that I'm looking at next year, every lap, every race that I can make is extremely important. And, you know, and then we won. So it definitely worked out.
Did you get any texts from your late model buddies saying like, hey, thanks for giving us the win, or hey, now we can actually contend today?
Maybe a couple, but now that deal's tough, and I never underestimate how tough it is to go to late model racing. I was able to do it a couple times during the summer and really enjoyed it. Really enjoyed kind of going back and racing with that team that, you know, most of them are my best friends. And it was, you know, it's really, it's been a lot of fun. I really enjoy being the hands-on part of working on the car. And, you know, that's been a great experience. So, I mean, I think all of us are kind of in a, you know, kind of not sure what to think or say, because we know that's kind of, you know, I'm moving on to do something else. But
right.
You know, hopefully we can get the late model car out a couple more times at the end of this year and see how we do.
When did conversations, whether it be with you and Dale, you and Kelly, you and your potential sponsors, when did conversations change from, wow, this is cool, we won Martinsville, we're doing the thing, this is awesome, finally getting our chance, to let's run this back, let's do this next year full time, let's try to find some funding? When did conversations change?
And, you know, I'm trying to remember exactly. I think, you know, obviously Martinsville was a key moment. LW Miller, who's the director of motorsports, he's been a longtime friend of mine. He's been a key part of our late model program. You know, he called me the Sunday afterwards, and he said, you know, that was great. He's like, you know, you're doing everything right, but go drive this stake into the ground, was how he put it. He's like, go make sure that, you know, we can't not give you an opportunity. We can't, you know, give us every reason to, you know, don't let off the gas. And
yeah,
you know, like I said, we almost really, by the end of this, where we stand now, I really, you know, if things work out a little differently here or there with cautions, I could have maybe won 4 or 5 races this year, which I would be, which I never thought, you know, I mean, I would have been thrilled to be in the position to win one, let alone that.
Yeah.
But, you know, I think that Martinsville was special, and it was life changing, but going to Dover with no practice and running as well as we did, leading and almost winning, and then going to Darlington and having that kind of performance, and you know, obviously the stuff with the one as well with Michigan and Las Vegas, and you know, it's all just kind of icing on the cake. And yeah, I don't know. We were working on it really all the way through the summer. You know, we have two announced partners with Tire Pros coming back, and Harrison's Workwear, which is a new partnership with JRM, and they've been around in the short track community for a long time and stepping up to support me. And, you know, those two pieces come into place. You know, the hard part was just figuring out how they're going to do it, whether with all the cars. And, you know, like I said, I'm just glad that it worked out.
You've also gotten to do a lot of cup racing, a lot of truck racing this year. Like I said, you're kind of the new super sub, which I think is awesome. Have you enjoyed that this year? And would you be open to doing some similar things next year, even though you'll be full time and your focus will be on the Xfinity series with the 8 car?
Yeah, definitely. You know, the cup deal, like I said, those of each kind of come due to COVID, you know, unfortunately for them, but fortunately for me, I guess. So, yeah, I never in a million years thought that I'd get to make a start in the Cup Series. So being able to do that was really cool. You got to experience both kind of packages that they have with those. And that was fun. And, you know, I was really thankful that I got the call there from Spire Motorsports to do that. And then, yeah, the Truck Series and even my opportunities with Jordan Anderson and the Xfinity Series.
Yeah.
You know, the Rackley War Group, that's a really fun group. That a lot of them guys I've known for a long time. You know, Willie Allen is co-owner on that. You know, I've known him since I was a kid, literally a kid. I remember watching Willie race. So that's just been a real fun deal. They're kind of getting started. We've had some trouble here or there, you know, but with some different things, but they're building something special there, I feel like. And you know, I'm glad to be a part of it. But you know, for next year, I mean, yeah, I'm open to racing as much as I can. I think, you know, there's a lot of things still left to figure out. I would love to be back in that Rackley truck some, but
yeah,
you know, they want to have a full time, you know, they want to have a full time driver as well. So I kind of understand that however it works out, it works out. So, but all in all, it's been a lot of fun doing all this stuff for sure.
How did it feel to make Dale Jr. cry like a baby?
Yeah, I don't know. That was funny, man. He just, I think that, you know, we've been around each other for a long time, and I feel like, you know, being, you know, everything that's happened this year, I think is just obviously extremely gratifying for him. And, you know, a lot of people ask me all the time, like, why did it take so long for this all to materialize? And, you know, I'm thankful that it did, because, you know, I feel like I'm prepared, obviously. But I think one key part of that I've realized is, you know, when Dale was racing full time in the Cup Series, you know, he was so busy with all of his commitments with his team and sponsors and everything that he really, I'm not going to say couldn't pay attention to me racing late model, but it was just hard for him to do. And yeah, ever since he's retired, I think me and him have become a lot closer, and he's been a lot more invested and interested, and been, because he's able to, I mean, he's able to follow that, you know, be invested in it and watch these late model races, enjoy it, see what we're doing. You know, and last year through our national championship run, me and him were, you know, obviously we had conversations about even doing it. And then it was, okay, we're going to do it. And then how are we going to do it? And then as it progressed, you know, me and him are talking more and more throughout the year. Where are we racing? Why are we racing here? Why are we going to Langley? Why are we going to Dominion? And, you know, I think me and him just got even closer yet. I think, I'm not saying that in 2013, I was ready to go racing the Xfinity car at all, but I'm saying, I think that that's why the timing of this maybe all worked out. And, like I said, it's been, I wouldn't change any of it for nothing.
Just real quick to end things here. I know it's far in advance, but looking ahead to next season, do you have any goals or achievements you want to accomplish formulated yet? Or is that kind of too early and you're kind of just trying to focus on finishing out the year in whichever car or truck you are told to run?
Yeah, I mean, you know, I definitely think next year we'll be in the, you know, we want to be competitive and be in the position to win. If we do that, we will, you know, be able to, you know, gain more points and playoff points and different things like that. You know, I don't really have a specific number that I'm going to set out. I know how hard it is to win. I know how hard it is to win in that series. So, you know, I'm not going to throw out a certain number that I feel like I'm going to have a, you know, it's going to be a failure if I don't achieve, I think. Mm-hmm. And even with the playoff format, there can be, you know, so many unknowns throughout that, you know, it might just not be your year. But, you know, our goal is to win and to make the championship four. And by that, if you get to that point, I think anything can happen.
Sounds good, man. Well, it's great to catch up with you. It's awesome to see your success. I wish I had more time with you to just chat about short track racers doing the damn thing, but it's awesome to see, man. I appreciate your time. And, we've come a long way from eating that meal together in the New Hampshire Media Center when you were running that Visconti Motorsports K&N race. Come a long way, Josh. So congrats on all the success, and looking forward to seeing what you can do the rest of the year and next year as well, my man.
Yeah, no, man. I appreciate it. Like I said, we can always talk short track racing. You can get a hold of me.
White flag is out. I repeat, the white flag is out. Back here in the Front Stretch podcast, Michael Massey, Adam Chaik, Brian Nolan here, filling in for Davey on this edition. Great interview that Davey conducted with Josh Berry. Always love seeing one of the underdogs get an actual great opportunity and take advantage of that opportunity. So very good stuff from Davey and Josh Berry. Adam Massey, let's dive into Texas. I'm just going to start off. I'll start out with Massey on this one. Listen, Texas is not that fun. I'm not going to lie to you, Massey. Please give me one good reason why this could be an entertaining race on Sunday.
Oh, hey, it's a struggle to think of one good reason.
Seconded.
I would say if Kevin Harvick feels that he wants to continue that feud with Chase Elliott, there's a reason to watch right there to see whether or not that keeps going, to see who gets the upper hand in the Denny Hamlin, Kyle Larson back and forth that's been going on all season long. You know, does the first two rounds of the playoffs, Denny Hamlin just stepped out, won the race, got himself to the next round. Will he do that again? You know, we'll see.
Adam, I'm just going to ask you the same question as I did Michael. Give me a good reason that this race will be enjoyable.
Well, I second Massey when I say that it's hard to think of one, but honestly, just kind of all the reasons he said, it's very hard to think of anything other than that. The Chase Harvick deal, Denny versus Larson, it's these in-driver matchups or feuds or whatever that are going to be kind of the focal point. And just seeing who starts the playoffs third and final multi-race round with a bang, because, you know, Larson, Hamlin are going to be the top two. I have no doubt about that, or both finishing in the top five at the very least. You know, can Chase Elliott kind of rebound from a race at the Roval that wasn't great, which of course it wasn't great at the hands of someone else, but can he rebound from it? Can Kyle and Truex kind of put together some solid runs after having, they didn't have a terrible second round, but they were just kind of there. They never really did much in terms of being a threat to win. Kyle won a stage at the Roval, of course. And also Ryan Blaney. Ryan Blaney's kind of been my focal point, because up and through Talladega, he got a few top tens in a row. He got those two wins heading into the playoffs at Michigan and Daytona. He's like fourth in points going into this round, and he could be there in the right place, right time in Martinsville. You know, if someone has problems, to lock himself into homes, or sorry, I'm still two years in the past into Phoenix with a good finish. And honestly, given the way he's run this year, I could see him stealing a win at Texas or Kansas.
Gentlemen, it is now time for the checkered flag.
Checkered flag, here I come.
Checkered flag is out. Checkered flag is out. That means it is time for our picks and our betting odds via William Hill Sportsbook, a partner of Caesars Sportsbook. Please bet responsibly. Gentlemen, let's dive into some of these bets. Let's start out with Adam on this one. Who you got between Kevin Harvick and Kyle Busch?
Kyle Busch.
Michael?
I'll go Kyle as well. This time of the year, we see the playoff guys rise to the top.
I'll go Kyle Busch.
The Roval did not screw him over.
Exactly. I got Kyle Busch as well. Michael, I'll start with you. A couple of non-playoff drivers, Austin Dillon or Ross Chastain?
Let's go Austin Dillon. He won at Texas last year.
Adam?
I'm going to go with Ross. Let's go with the Mellow Man.
I'm going to go with Ross, too. He's a little bit of an underdog. Win some money if you bet on the Melon Man. And so I'll go with Chastain on this one. Adam, I'll go with you first on this one. Ryan Blaney or William Bill Byron?
Continuing the trend of what I was talking about right before the checkered flag, Ryan Blaney, hands down.
Massey, are you going to go with Bill Byron or are you going to go with YRB?
Yeah, I'm going with Slick Bill Byron, as Bowman likes to call him. Those Hendrick cars are fast. I think Penske's an underdog this round.
Okay, I got Bill Byron as well. YRB having a good season, but I think Billy is going to get the job done ahead of him. Michael, Brad Keselowski or Joseph Logano?
That's a tough one because they're the same equipment, but I go with Joe Logano because he is not the lame duck at Penske.
Adam, Brad Keselowski or Joey Logano?
I'm going to lean Logano here. That's what I'm going with.
I got Logano as well. Adam, we'll start with you on this one. Eric Amarole or Matt DiBenedetto?
DiBenedetto. I think these last few races in the 21 are kind of his motivation.
Massey, Dibby, or Double A?
I'll go DiBenedetto as well. He just had a top 10 at the Roval. Got some momentum.
I'll go DiBenedetto as well. Massey, Chase Elliott, or Denny Hamlin?
I like Denny Hamlin in those round openers. He's fast.
I got Denny too. Adam, are you going to stick with the plan or are you going to go against the grain?
I'm going to go with Denny. He won a Texas a couple years ago, so got him.
Brilliant. Kurt Busch or Tyler Reddick? Adam, we'll start with you.
I'm going to go Tyler Reddick. I think he's got that momentum carrying over from that good run at the Roval. And he, I believe, came in second when Austin Dillon, his teammate, won a Texas a couple years ago or a year ago.
He did have a good run at the Roval last week. Very, very impressive. Massey, Reddick or Kurt Busch?
I'll go Reddick as well, although he might have Byron paying him back this week.
That is true. They did get into it a little bit after the race, according to NASCAR, the Instagram on NASCAR's Instagram. I saw a confrontation between the two. I got Reddick as well. Two more before we do our predictions for the race. Michael, I'll start with you on this one. Ricky Stenhouse Jr. or Daniel Suarez?
I'd go Suarez for that one.
Adam, Suarez or Stenhouse?
Same, Suarez.
I'll go to Juarez as well. And we'll finish it off. Adam, I'll have you finish this one. Martin Truex Jr., Kyle Larson.
Kyle Larson.
Massey?
Is that even a close one? Larson all the way.
Brilliant. That's what I got as well. All right. Our time for our predictions, like we do every single Friday on Stock Car Scoop, doing it a little bit earlier here on the Front Stretch Podcast. I'll have Michael go first on this one. Who will be coming away with the checkered flag in Texas on Sunday afternoon?
Let's keep the streak going. Denny Hamlin wins another round opener.
Denny Hamlin for Michael Massey. Adam Cheek.
I'm actually going to say the same thing. I think the streak's going to keep going. I think it'll be the Denny and Larson show all the way up till Phoenix.
Denny Hamlin for Adam Cheek. I'm going to go with the guy that's already won at Texas this year. It was at the All-Star race, but he's still going to win. That'll be Kyle Larson getting the job done. The final thing before we wrap it up, any final thoughts, comments, questions, concerns, spill them right here. We'll start with Adam. Anything you would like to get off your chest before we call tonight?
I don't think so. I think it was interesting that both of the Virginia guys here, myself and Massey, went with the Virginia driver for Texas this weekend. I think it's going to be the Denny and Larson show this weekend and through Phoenix, like I said. I'm always interested to see how much Texas delivers, you know, because we talked about how it can be lacking in terms of excitement. Sometimes it'll come through. We had that kind of the surprise win with Austin Dillon last year and that really good race for RCR. But Texas as a whole, you know, it's if nothing else, I guess it provides a nice sort of return to normalcy, which we've used that a zillion times in the past year and a half for sure. But, you know, a return to normalcy for these guys after suffering through Talladega and worrying about crashes and suffering through the Roval after worrying about, you know, chaos literally around every turn. So this weekend should be a much calmer race and hopefully not delayed like 4 days like last year.
That was absolutely dreadful. I can promise that much. And looking at the weather, the it does not look like it is going to be like that. So fingers crossed it stays like that. Michael, final thoughts before we call it a night.
I'm excited to see the truck and Xfinity races this weekend. And for the cup race, I just hope that all I ask is just for some consistent officiating.
Yes. From
NASCAR in the cup race, and I'll be happy. And as far as excitement goes for next two cup weeks, you can kind of just hibernate and then we'll get Martinsville.
That's where they haven't happened. That's fair. That's fair.
Trust me, folks, we do not give you any BS on this. We tell you exactly how we feel and then some, especially Mr. Michael Massey himself. You can follow all of us on our goofiness on our Twitter. First off, you can follow Front Stretch on Twitter at Front Stretch. Follow Adam on Twitter at Adam N Cheek. Follow me on Twitter at the Brian Nolan. And you can follow Michael on Twitter at M_Massey22. That is 22. M_Massey22. Last but not least, if you'd like to advertise for not only this podcast, but also for Front Stretch's Stock Car Scoop, please give us a ring or send us an email at sales@frontstretch.com. Once again, sales@frontstretch.com. For Michael and Adam and everybody at Front Stretch, thank you so much for joining us. I am Brian Owen. Have a great week. And me and Adam will talk with you on Thursday to preview Texas Motor Speedway.